morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David. The good news we've seen this week is that God is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And that means that even we who have sinned against this holy and good God, who have violated his righteous decrees, even we can be forgiven. Even we can be welcomed by him to have a close relationship with him, to enjoy his protection and love and guidance. And we can have all of these things because God is love. And the verse that I just read about God's compassion is from the Old Testament. So all this week I've been talking about how people think that the Old Testament God is angry, the New Testament God is loving, and all the, you know, sort of contradictions between the old God and the new. And we've seen that's just not the case. So we looked at passages in the Old Testament like Psalm 23, David in other Psalms, his declaration of God's love. Yes, God judges people in the Old Testament. Yes, there was the flood. Yes, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Yes, God's judgment is real because when people sin and violate his laws, he must maintain justice. He must maintain his integrity as the judge of all the earth. But God's heart desire is that all would come to repentance and that all would experience his forgiveness and love. That's what he desires. It is not his fault when someone willfully sins against him and falls into his judgment. So we saw that in the Old Testament. Then we saw in the New Testament that it's the same picture. God, through Jesus Christ, is both judging, and we see Jesus as the king over Israel, as God's prophet at that time, and as God himself who had created the world and everything in it. He announces woes on those who transgress his law and will not turn to him and believe in him. He announces coming judgment. It is in the New Testament we find descriptions of hell. It is in the, more so than in the Old Testament. It is in the New Testament that we find God destroying nations and peoples, even more so than in the Old Testament, in Revelation. Other than the flood, maybe that would be the one exception, but other than the flood, we see a more widespread global calamity in various shapes and forms in Revelation than anywhere in the Old Testament. And so we see a consistency with God. I want to read today from Hebrews chapter 2, which talks about this consistency in both the Old and New Testament. It says in Hebrews 2, verse 2, "For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him." Let me break that down, okay? So the author of Hebrews, writing in the New Testament, says, you know, if in the past the message that was spoken through angels, and this is a reference to the covenant God made with the Israelites at Sinai when he gave the Ten Commandments. So that covenant God made with the nation of Israel, if it was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, and that's the key again, when God punishes in the Old Testament, it is always just. It is always right. It's not his fault. You can't blame him. You can't say, why is he in such a bad mood? No, he is being just. He is administering correctly his role as judge. All right, so they received a just punishment when they broke his covenant. Then Hebrews switches in verse 3 to this question, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Nothing has changed in God's character, is what the author of Hebrews is saying. God will judge the wicked. He did in the Old Testament. He most certainly will in the New Testament, is what the author of Hebrews is saying. If he punished them, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? We know of Christ. We know of what Jesus did on the cross for us. We know that God sent his son to bleed and die to pay for our sin. He offers complete forgiveness. No matter how great your sin may be, no matter who you are, no matter how long you have rejected him, God says very clearly through Jesus Christ that he desires to forgive you. He wants to see you receive his gift of forgiveness and salvation. So if you reject that, How could you possibly think you're going to escape God's judgment when all those who lived before Christ certainly did not? So if anything, in the New Testament here, we're seeing that God's judgment is even stricter in our context, but yet his love is even more clear. You see, God's love and wrath are not, it's not one or the other. They go together. They fit together. And we can be very thankful that God's love is what is his primary characteristic in both the Old and New Testament. Well, Hebrews returns to this theme again later on. I want to read chapter 10 of Hebrews, beginning with verse 26. And this basically explains more fully what was going on back in chapter 2 that I just read. And it says here, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. All right, this is talking about fire and judgment and consuming enemies. This is in the New Testament. The New Testament is very clear. God has not changed. God has not suddenly gone soft on sin. There is a coming judgment. And he goes on to say in verse 28, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? So in other words, again, if you hear the message of the cross and what Jesus has done in order to pay for your sin so that God can be just and punish sin, but yet also do what he wants to do, which is forgive you, extend grace to you. If you hear that message and trample it underfoot, meaning you say, no, I don't believe that. No, I don't need to pay attention to that. No, I'm fine on my own. I'm good enough on my own. I can stand before a holy God on my own terms. I don't need God's forgiveness and gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Well, then how do you think you're going to be treated? How do you think you're going to fare in the judgment when you've been offered so much and you've rejected it? It's not going to go well. That's what Hebrews is saying. And then he concludes with this in verse 30 of chapter 10. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now here there are several quotes from the Old Testament. And so you can see here in the mind of the author of Hebrews, there's no challenge in fitting together the character of God as a judge who is also loving and compassionate with what we know about God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fullest revelation of God. It is in Jesus we know exactly what God is like. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He is perfectly loving and compassionate. He wants to forgive. He wants to gather every person, no matter who they are, to him to protect and love them and forgive them and give them eternal life and give them every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But we also know Jesus is judge. And Jesus gives woes. Jesus gives warnings. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. Jesus says, many on that day will say, you know, didn't we prophesy in your name and do all these miracles in your name? And he says, I'm going to tell you, I never knew you, away from me. So Jesus is not a softy. Jesus is not someone that just gets along with any kind of sinful behavior. But Jesus longs to forgive us. Jesus has paid every price. He has gone to the cross. He loves us that much. God's wrath, God's love, they fit together. Old Testament, New Testament, it's one story. The question is, what will you do with that story? Will you believe and receive that gift of salvation? Because what can we expect to happen if you don't? Whose fault will it be if you don't? It's not God's fault. I pray that you know God is the loving and kind and forgiving God personally in your own experience. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.